Have you ever had an experience like that? Have you ever had an experience where deep down you knew that that balloon was red, but it felt like everyone around was telling you that it was a different color? But, you know, deep down, you knew that the things that other people were telling you, they just didn't add up. And you just knew that the balloon was still red. My dad, he taught school. He was a school teacher. Taught it for over 30 years, and he was getting ready to retire. And one day he got a call from the principal's office, and they have a meeting with one of the parents. Well, he goes down to the office, not sure what this is about, and he walks into the office, and all of a sudden, you know, he notices there's the principal, and there's the counselor, and there's the parent, and there's the student. And he said, what's going on here? Apparently, he gave a math test. One of the questions on the test, what is 6 times 6? Answer is 36. The kid wrote down something like 172. And my dad marked it wrong. Well, he got called down to the office to see if there was something that they could do, some way that he could mark that answer correct. Because the counselor said, you know, this child took some very creative paths to get to the answer of 172. And we think you should give him credit for the answer, for it being right. My dad said, but it's not right. And they said, yeah, but for him, it's right, because he took this creative path to get there. And it was basically the straw that broke the camel's back that told my dad that he was ready to retire, if that's kind of where education was going. Another thing I noticed this week, I was reading an article this week. It was about the networks, you know, the major news channels, not the cable networks, but the other networks, and how they're trying now to promote full frontal nudity on national television as a regular thing. And they're saying, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, society is ready to take this next step. Society's ready to go here. And people really aren't going to bother it. You know, it's not going to bother them too much. But let me ask you, fathers, is that going to bother you knowing that your 10-year-old son is watching a woman who is fully naked? You know, wives, is it going to bother you that your husbands are going to be watching that on national television? But they're telling you, no, it's okay. It's okay, it's not a big deal. You know, deep down inside, we have a sense of what's right and what's wrong, even though other people tell us something different. Deep down inside. And you know, we know that it isn't right, even though somebody else is telling us that it is. And that's kind of where we're going to go tonight with tonight's story. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a woman who was in a very similar situation. We're going to be reading a story about the Queen of Sheba. And she's a woman who seemingly had it all. She had wealth. She had a counselor. She had religious leaders. She had servants. She had a lot of power, and she could get really whatever she wanted. She was a woman that we would look at and assume that she had all the answers in life. And as we read her story tonight in 1 Kings 10, we're going to discover that she didn't have all the answers. And as a matter of fact, she went on a long journey to find them. The story that we're talking about is the Queen of Sheba's search for truth. And it's found in 1 Kings 10, if you read along with me. When the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, which brought honor to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She arrived in Jerusalem with a large group of attendants and a great caravan of camels loaded with spices, large quantities of gold, and precious jewels. When she met with Solomon, she talked with him about everything that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all of her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba realized how very nice Solomon was, how very wise, he was nice too, I'm sure, but how very wise Solomon was, and when she saw the palace that he had built, she was overwhelmed. She was also amazed at the food on his table, the organization of his officials, and the splendid clothing, the cupbearers, the burnt offerings Solomon made at the temple of the Lord. She exclaimed to the king, "Everything I heard in my country about your achievements and wisdom is true. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe what was said until I arrived here and saw it with my own eyes. In fact, I had not heard the half of it. Your wisdom and prosperity are far beyond what I was told. How happy your people must be. What a privilege for your officials to stand here day after day listening to your wisdom. Praise the Lord your God who delights in you and has placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king, so you can rule with justice and righteousness. Then she gave the king a gift of 9,000 pounds of gold, great quantities of silver and precious jewels. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to the king, King Solomon. So the Queen of Sheba, she traveled to Solomon because Solomon brought honor to the name of the Lord. When the queen met Solomon, she was blown away by his wisdom and by his prosperity. Verse 3 tells us that Solomon, he answered all of the questions. He answered all of the tough questions that she had on her heart. And when he finished, the queen, she praised God, and she gave Solomon these enormous amounts of gold, 9,000 pounds of gold. How would you like to get that? That's a nice gift, right? 9,000 pounds. I did a little calculation here for today's gold value. That's like $220 million. It's a nice little housewarming present. And that's not even mentioning all the spices that it talks about here and the precious jewels and the everything else that she brought. So the story tonight has a lot to teach us. What I want to do is I want to break it down into some life lessons that we can apply in our daily lives. So let's jump right into the first life lesson in the story. And it's this: because of your association with God, people are going to come to you seeking truth and asking the tough questions. The Queen of Sheba, she had everything at her disposal, but she knew that something wasn't right. She knew that the things that she had been taught throughout her life, the things that she was taught throughout her life growing up, it didn't hold the truth that she was looking for. She knew that her heart's questions, they weren't being satisfied with the answers that the world was offering. And the answers that she had previously received, they didn't stop her searching for the truth. So she continued to search, and she searched aggressively. She was willing to travel all the way from Sheba to Israel. Now Sheba, scholars are kind of divided as to where Sheba is. Sheba can be one of two places. Let me try this. I just bought this thing today. Sheba can either be Yemen, and you travel all the way up to Israel up there, or it can be Ethiopia. Either one of those could be Sheba. Now she would travel, oh, rattlesnake, and then she'd go over there. That journey is about 1,500 miles. That's about 1,500 miles away, done by camel. I mean, they're not even getting on a car, a plane, a motorcycle, anything through the desert. She's dragging this entire crew of people. I imagine probably some kind of an army to protect the 9,000 pounds of gold and jewels and everything else from invaders. She's bringing all this stuff through. A trip like that probably would have taken about 3 months. So this wasn't just a little, hey, I think for the weekend we're going to go over here and talk to Solomon. This was a big deal. Now, if your friend came to you and asked you if you wanted to go on a 1,500-mile trip with them, you'd leave here all happy, and then your friend said, we're going on camel. You'd go out here, you'd reach about there, there's a golden corral right there. So you're going to want to stop there. But then you want to keep going. You're going to end up in North Platte, Nebraska. That is the journey that she took. That's a big journey. That on foot would probably take you 2 months. On camel, I don't know how fast they move, probably three, since you're not going through a desert. But that's how far the Queen of Sheba traveled. But that's the length that she went to discover truth, to discover the answers on her heart. Now contrast her attitude with the Roman official who sentenced Jesus. This was a guy named Pontius Pilate. Pilate, he was in a conversation with Jesus, and he was clarifying that Jesus was king. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. With that, Pilate asked, what is truth? And then get this. Pilate walks out before he gets the answer. He walked away before he got the answer. He had the answer right in front of him. He chose to ignore it. Pilate walked away from the greatest authority on the greatest question that a person can ask. But that's not what the queen did. There was nothing that was going to stop this lady from seeking truth and getting the answers. And she did it because of Solomon's connection to the Lord. She sought Solomon out. The Queen of Sheba sought Solomon out, and she brought her questions to him because he had been given wisdom from God, and he was God's representative. If you're a believer here tonight, if you're a Christian here, You are God's representative. And you should expect that people are going to bring their hard questions to you. People are going to bring them to you. Now, you might not be bombarded with them all the time, but they're going to come. They're going to come when a person's world gets shaken and it shakes them back into reality. If you remember back around 9/11, the Sunday after that, the churches were packed out the door with people looking for answers, looking for what God had to say about this and where God stood during this very difficult time. If you let people know that you're a Christian and you live life that way, they are going to bring their questions to you. Now, with the Queen of Sheba, we don't know what led her up to seeking out Solomon. Maybe she lost someone very close to her. Maybe she lost a child, and it rocked her world. And it put her on a journey to seek truth about God and about eternity. Now, we're not sure, but something did send her on that quest, and it sent her to go seeking these answers for things that were on her mind. Another translation says that she had a lot of things on her heart, and she went to seek out the answers for those things. She knew the answers. They didn't lead her to the truth, but she knew the truth was out there, and she sought it from a man of God. I was in, a lot of you know that I took acting school for a while. When I was in there, there's this guy. He was a really obnoxious guy. He was one of these partiers, all the time partying, just always like a big goofball. Kind of made fun of me for being a Christian because I wouldn't do certain scenes. And I'm just fine, I'm a big boy, I could take that. But he kind of made fun of me for that. And, you know, he would do these scenes, you know, dropping F-bombs here and there and all over the place. And you know what? One day something happened to him. And he approached me. He came and he said, you're a Christian, right? A lot of garbage happened to me. Can I talk to you for a little bit? And we went down and we had a talk and he wasn't the goofy guy. He wasn't the guy making fun of me. He was the guy that was looking for answers for what was on his heart. If you show that you're a Christian, if people know that you're a believer, they're going to bring the tough questions to you. So in that, we have a takeaway for tonight. First takeaway, live a life that honors the name of the Lord. That's what Solomon did. He lived a life that honored the name of the Lord. Live a life that honors the name of the Lord. Right here at Westbridge, right here is the place to start doing that. It's the place to learn how to grow and to learn how to live a life that honors the name of the Lord. And so far, we've learned that the Queen of Sheba, she sent out on this 1,500-mile journey to seek truth. Next, we see that she revealed her heart to Solomon, and he answered her questions. It tells us that he answered everything that was on her heart. Nothing was too hard for him to explain. He had the answers. He knew answers existed. So let's make that our second point for tonight. Truth exists. Culture tells us that, definite truth doesn't exist. How many times have you heard, such and such is true because I believe it? Or truth is what I make it to be. Or there's no such thing as truth. Culture today, it's adopted this weird mindset. It's adopted a mindset that says there are no definite truths. And this isn't a new concept. This was back in the Queen of Sheba's day as well. Many people live with this mindset and they don't even realize it. We live in a society today that says each person makes up their own truth based on what he or she believes. It's like a truth free-for-all. If you want to believe in the God of the Bible, well, good for you. You know, but if your friend Charlie over here believes he's going to be reincarnated into a stink bug, well, good for him. And then your friend Alice over here, well, she doesn't believe in God at all, and you just turn back into dirt, and that's the end of it. Well, good for her. You know, culture says that their reality determines what's true for them. Culture says that if they really, really believe it, it's going to be true for them. Now, for many people today, and I'll say for most of our culture, the idea of only one way, that's a big turnoff. That's a big turnoff. If you say there's only one way, you're going to get called intolerant, hateful, mean. I mean, after all, who are we to judge somebody else? If it's right for them, hey, good for them. That's what society tells us. If you're a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu, atheist, Christian, miscellaneous, hey, that's okay. If you're really sincere in your beliefs, then it's real for you. Who are we to say that if someone wants to live a certain way, then they're wrong? That's what culture tells us. You believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and we'll make up our own truths based on what each of us believe. And that kind of truth, it really sounds kind of appealing, doesn't it? I mean, you're not going to hurt anyone's feelings with that. You're not going to get anyone mad at you or make any enemies with that. But here's the problem. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. What if I choose to live one way and you choose to live another? My way might be right to me, and your way might be right to you, so we're both okay, right? Well, let me answer that with a question. In some cultures, people love their neighbors. In other cultures, they eat them. Do you have a preference? See, they don't mesh. Believing something is true doesn't change anything. A few hundred years ago, everyone in the world believed that the world was flat. Everyone. It didn't make the earth 1 inch flatter. Didn't change anything. You see, our belief, it only works up to the point to where it meets reality. Thank you, Jill. Good job. And reality wins. If I have this, I have this ladder here. Now, if I go up this ladder and I say, you know what? I'm going to go up this, and I really, 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 really believe, truly, in my heart, I believe that if I step off of this ladder, I'm going to float. But I believe it. I believe, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't really believe it. But if I step off this ladder, I'm going to float. No matter how much I believe it, you know what would happen? Gravity's going to win. Gravity does not care what I think, even if I truly believe it with every ounce within me. I'm going to fall straight to that ground, and I'm going to be hurt. So I'm not going to do it. But point is, our belief only works up until the point where it meets reality. If you're looking to make some extra money, Cody, you say, Mr. Scott, your yard is an absolute disaster. I want to come over for a couple days. I want to make some extra money here, mow it for you, clean it up for you. I said, all right, you know, we could do that. And at the end, I'll pay you what I think it's worth. And then you come over and you work hard. I mean, in the middle of summer, you're working hard. You're sweating, you know, you get all dirty. And the mower breaks down, so then you got pushed by hand. You're working for those 3 days. And then at the end of those 3 days, I say, okay, Cody, it's payday. I'm going to pay you in SpaghettiOs. Nice. There's your pay. And then you say, well, this is a joke, right? And I'm going to say, no, I honestly believe that's a good payment. See, then we're going to have a problem because you and I have different beliefs here, and they crisscrossed. And your belief only works up to the point until it meets reality, and that's not reality. Take an atheist and a Christian. One more example. Take an atheist and a Christian. Atheist does not believe that God exists. A Christian believes that the God of the Bible exists. Now, they can't both be right. God cannot exist, and he can't exist, and he cannot exist. It's not possible for them to be. He either does or he does not exist. You can't have both. Somebody's wrong. And as Christians, we have the scientific and historic proof that truth does exist. So here's a second takeaway. When people come seeking the answers to the tough questions, we need to be prepared and ready to share truth, God's truth, with them. And when we share the real truth with people seeking it, we get to our third and final point for tonight. And that is, truth always points towards God. The Queen of Sheba, she is an excellent example of this. She's an excellent example. After Solomon, after he answered all of her questions, he gave her God's truth here. And here's what she said. Praise the Lord your God who delights in you and has placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of God's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king so you can rule with justice and righteousness. In response to hearing the truth, her questions were answered. She gave credit to God for what she saw and heard. And that's what's supposed to happen. That's what's supposed to happen when truth is shared. The Bible, it's loaded with passages that links truth to God. Truth is God's very nature. Here's what it says in Psalms 31. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. John 1:17, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Truth is God's very nature. When God spoke, Jesus spoke to Pilate, the verse we looked at earlier, when Jesus spoke to Pilate, the Roman official, he told Pilate why he came into this world. Jesus said, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus came to testify to the truth about God's nature, about who God is. Jesus came to testify to the truth about God's plans for salvation. Jesus came to testify about the truth of who God is, who God was, and who God is always going to be. Over and over and over again, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This comes from Matthew. I just jotted a couple verses down here from Matthew where he said, I tell you the truth. Notice that. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Over again. I tell you the truth. 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 Anymore? There we go. Look at that. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. 30 times I counted. In one book, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, 30 times. And that's not even including Mark, Luke, or John. That's just Matthew. Over and over and over, you get the idea that truth was important to Jesus? And here's the thing. All of the truths that Jesus said pointed towards God. When we share truth with others, we need to make sure that they come from the source of truth, the Bible. One of the words that the scholars use to describe the Bible is that it's infallible. It's a word that means that what the Bible teaches, the teachings in the Bible, they are unable to fail when they're applied. It's infallible. The idea here is that as we offer someone infallible truth from the Bible, God is glorified, and his people see that he is the one who has the answers. And he's the one who makes the truth available to us. The Queen of Sheba, she recognized that. And when we apply truth, others are going to recognize that as well. When we give them truth, it's going to point back to God. Now, it's important here to note that when we share truth with people, they're not immediately going to respond and praise God like the Queen of Sheba did. That's not always going to happen. I mean, it's awesome when it does, but it's not always going to happen. There's going to be times where the process is going to take a while. And here's a little hint. This isn't something you're normally going to hear in a church, but I'm going to say it anyway. In offering God's truth, you don't always have to say, well, the Bible says, da 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 da. You can just share the truth of the Bible with them without them actually knowing that it's coming from the Bible. Because a lot of people, when you say, well, the Bible says, they're going to shut their ears. But if you just offer them the truth, it's going to come across as wisdom that God has given you. It's going to be biblical truth that you're sharing with them. But you don't immediately have to tell them, you know, this comes from the Bible. I have a friend of mine. My friend of mine, his name is John. And John's kids really don't want anything to do with God. John is a Christian. But John's kids, they really don't want anything to do with God. But they come to him for advice. They're adults, but they find themselves in trouble. So they come to him for advice. Well, one of the things that he does, he found out that when he says, well, the Bible says, they close their ears. Why? Because, well, to them, the Bible is an ancient book. It's irrelevant. It really doesn't have to do with anything today. So he just offers the truths of the Bible with them. Well, you know, if you did this, or if you did this, he offers the truth of the Bible with them. And every once in a while, when they apply it, and they're like, wow, Dad, thanks for that advice, then he'll tell them, hey, you know what? That came out of the Bible. So it's happening over time, they're starting to see the Bible is relevant. The Bible is relevant because it's changing their life time, you know, over and over, slowly, slowly, slowly. The process is starting to change them. So just don't expect a Queen of Sheba rapid response, but have confidence in knowing that when you send the truth out there, when you send God's truth out there to somebody, it's going to start working. Our third takeaway for tonight. When people come to you, be careful you don't just give them an answer to appease them. Don't just give out empty words when someone comes to you. But silently say a prayer and ask God to give you the words that will point that person to the truth, to God. The Bible tells us, it tells us in James, whoever needs wisdom, ask God. That's where Solomon got his wisdom from. He got it from God. We learned about that already. That's how Solomon got his incredible wisdom. Pray for God's wisdom. When somebody comes to you with a problem, you're thinking in your head, you don't say it out loud, but you think in your head, man, I don't know what to say to this person. Say, God, just give me something from your word, something, a truth from you to say to them. Pray for God's wisdom, and the words are going to come so that you can offer the truth to the person who needs to hear it. God's word says, it says in Isaiah, it says, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It always accomplishes what I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. That means that whenever you offer truth to somebody, whenever you offer godly truth, that truth is always going to point back to God. Whenever God speaks, truth exists. And God has spoken through his word. And when we live lives that are obedient to God's word, others are going to notice our association with him. And then people are going to come to you seeking truth and asking the tough questions. And then when they come to you, have the confidence that truth does exist. And when you share that truth, use the guide that truth always points to God. If you're not sure where to start with someone when sharing the truth, one of the most basic truths as a Christian, Jesus said it himself. He said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one gets to the Father except through him. He is the only way, he said, to get to the Father. If he is the only way, then there is no other way, even if someone else believes it. Even if someone else believes there's another way. A lot of people are going to come to you, just like Pilate did, and ask the question, what is truth? And they're going to walk away because they don't want to know the answer. But there are going to be people that are going to come to you, and they're genuinely seeking truth. They're coming to you for a reason, because they know that you have something that they want. And we need to be prepared with an answer. When people come to you, we need to know the truth, and we need to share it with them, because at the end of the day, the balloon is still red. No matter what other people want to call it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for giving us your truth, Lord, for not just letting us flounder around in this world and try to figure it out on our own. Lord, but you gave us your word. You gave us the truth, Lord. As we go out this week, Lord, give us your wisdom. Lord, help us to take what you want us to say. When other people approach us, Lord, help us to not be intimidated, Lord, but to know that we have the truth on our side, Lord, that you, God, live inside of us, and that you will give us the right words to say, Lord, not just to say anything, but to say the words that point back to you. Lord, we thank you for this week. We ask you, Lord, to bring us back here safely next week. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great night.